Hello everyone and welcome to another VHIA podcast episode. Today we'll be going through a few key provisions within the new maintenance agreement. I'm Bree Marinia, Senior Workplace Relations Consultant, and joining me today is Maddie Batchelor, Workplace Relations Consultant.
Hi everyone. Specifically, we will be discussing on-call and recall, breaks, including breaks between periods of work, and then moving on to travelling, relocation and distant work.
So let's start with the new on-call provisions. It's important to note that the previous agreement did already provide for on-call payments, but it also had standby provisions for certain employees. And in certain circumstances, it wasn't clear how these two clauses interacted. So in the new agreement, the parties undertook to make the distinction between these provisions a lot clearer.
Yeah, that's right. So the on-call provisions now outline two clear categories of on-call, each attracting a different payment.
So the new term also provides obligations in relation to notice of being on-call and rostering. Clause 29.2A talks about the roster. On-call must be identified in the roster, specifying whether it's general on-call or occasional on-call, and we'll talk about those two categories later. And the rostering requirements are contained in the hours of work clause at subclause 40.2.
Yeah, right. So then we get into the nitty-gritty of the types of on-call. Clause 29.2Bi defines general on-call where employees must hold themselves in readiness after regular hours for remote recall or be recalled to the workplace.
And general on-call adopts the same principle as other agreements. So this is the predominant form of on-call that will be paid to employees under this agreement, and it applies where there's a routine, regular and expected part. On-call is a routine, regular and expected part of the work.
So the previous standby provisions reflect the approach taken in the modern award that applies to metal industry employees. Being paid for standing by needs to be distinguished from a regular requirement to be on call.
Yes, so subclause 29.2B Roman numeral 2 introduces what we've now called occasional on-call, and this is applicable only to metal industry employees, and this is intended to better describe what the existing standby provisions are. So occasional on-call comes into play when there's no custom prevailing for employees to be regularly on-call after ordinary hours.
Exactly. So a custom prevailing means on-call is a routine, regular and expected part of the work. But remember, this custom doesn't relieve the employer from paying a refrigerator serviceman the prescribed rate for occasional on-call.
Yeah, that's a good point. To make it clearer for members to determine when general on-call or occasional on-call will apply, clause 29.2B Roman numeral 2 does provide some examples pertaining to different situations. The first example is as follows. So as part of an employee's role, they participate in a rotating weekly on-call roster. For the week that the employee is on call, they're paid the general on-call allowance, and per the recall, return to workplace callback provisions if they are required to return to the workplace and perform overtime.
The general on-call allowance applies in this scenario as the requirement to be on call is a routine, regular and expected part of the employee's role.
Yeah, that's right. So the second example describes another scenario where only the general on-call allowance will apply. So, for example, as part of an employee's role, they participate in a rotating weekly on-call roster and they're on-call for the first week of every month. Another employee is on unplanned personal leave and will not be able to participate in the on-call roster. So the first employee agrees to cover the absent employee's on-call period, and then they'll be working the first and the third week of the on-call roster for that month. They'll still be paid the general on-call allowances and not the occasional for each week that they're on-call.
This example demonstrates that even though covering a period of personal leave means an employee is on-call at a different time than usually rostered, occasional on-call will not apply because on-call is still a routine, regular and expected part of the employee's role.
So there is a third example that describes the circumstance where the occasional on-call allowance will apply. So, for example, a group of employees might participate in a rotating on-call roster to provide out-of-hours coverage for their health service, but there's an employee who does not participate in this on-call roster, but they also have a specialized skill that's required for a very particular job. And on, you know, an ad hoc basis, they're required to be on call after their ordinary hours in readiness to be recalled. So this employee will be entitled to the occasional on-call allowance, given they're a metal industry employee, for this ad hoc on-call period.
So the example describes the scenario where an employee does not perform on-call as a routine, regular, or expected part of their role, but on an ad hoc basis. Their skills are needed after hours. When they are required to be on call, they are paid the occasional on-call allowance.
So moving on to clause 29.2B, Roman numeral 3, there's a provision about general availability. So this is a new provision which outlines if an employee was not rostered on general or occasional on-call but is recalled to duty, they'll be paid the applicable on-call allowance that would have applied, you know, had they been rostered. However, they can't be coerced into duty. So any agreement to perform recall has to be mutually agreed upon.
Now, let's talk about the allowances that apply to each type of on-call. General on-call, according to subclass Roman numeral 1, outlines employees are entitled to a specific on-call allowance, and there are distinctions for weekends and weekdays. The rate of this allowance has also increased in the new agreement.
Yeah, exactly. So for the Monday to Friday on-call allowance, which is outlined in Appendix 3, employees will receive this allowance for each on-call period from the time they finish ordinary duty on Monday until the termination of ordinary duty on Friday.
And for the weekend on-call allowance, employees receive this allowance for each period of 15 hours or any part thereof during which they are on call. This period starts from the termination of ordinary duty on the Friday and concludes at the commencement of ordinary duty on a Monday.
Now, let's shift our focus to occasional on-call, which is specifically for metal industry employees, and subclause Roman numeral 2 breaks it down for us.
Absolutely. So for occasional on-call, an employee who's rostered on this type of on-call duty is entitled to an amount equivalent to their ordinary rate of pay. This payment covers the entire duration from the moment they are instructed to commence occasional on-call until the time they are released.
So members should amend the on-call allowances within their system to reflect the new rates and to ensure the on-call is identified in an employee's roster. Members should also review any on-call policies or processes to ensure compliance with the clause.
Great. Next, we want to highlight the recall provisions of the agreement tying into on-call.
Absolutely, Maddie. So the recall entitlements have not changed in the new agreement. They have, however, been redrafted for clarity and to ensure recall provisions for all employees are under the one clause and easy to find. So firstly, the old agreement did refer to recall as callback. For consistency with other agreements, the clause has been retitled recall return to workplace and then in brackets callback.
This clause details what happens when an employee is recalled to duty outside their rostered hours of duty after leaving the employer's business premises, noting this applies whether notified before or after leaving the premises.
That's right. According to clause 45.5A, if an employee is recalled after leaving the workplace, they're entitled to the applicable overtime rates for each time they are called back. The applicable overtime rates are contained at subclause 45.3 in the newly drafted table.
And clause 45.5B emphasises the expectation for an employee to return to the workplace within a reasonable period, considering the nature of the recall. In other words, employees should return to the workplace as soon as possible if an emergency requires their attention, but a less urgent repair could be dealt with sometime that night. And there's no urgent rush to return to the workplace.
The new agreement clarifies that if an employee is recalled multiple times between the end of one day's ordinary hours and the start of the next working day, that they're entitled to the minimum payment for each recall every time they return.
Absolutely. For example, a plumbing industry employee is recalled at 10 p.m. and performs 2 hours of work before returning home. They are paid 3.25 hours for this recall. The same employee is then recalled at 4 a.m. to perform 1 hour of work. They are paid another 3.25 hours for this second recall.
And something noteworthy in subclause 45.5E is that the employee shouldn't be required to work the full minimum payment period if the job is completed in a shorter time frame, unless there are some unforeseen circumstances.
Right. Now, there are some exceptions for when this minimum payment period does not apply. Except for plumbing industry employees, the minimum payment rule doesn't apply if overtime is continuous with ordinary working time or if it's customary for an employee to return for a specific job outside regular hours.
So to illustrate, let's consider an example. An employee finishes work at 4 p.m. but returns each evening at 8 p.m. to switch off a generator. Since this is customary and they do it every day, they're not paid the minimum hours for a recall, but they're instead compensated for the actual time worked.
Moving on to clause 45.6, it addresses the rest period after recall, referring to 45.10 for an employee's entitlement to a rest period after overtime. Clause 45.10A outlines the standard entitlement to 10 consecutive hours off duty between their ordinary shifts. Otherwise, they must be released after completing such overtime until they've had the necessary work period or be paid at a rate of 200% until released from duty.
It's important for members to note that there are some variations to the rest break after overtime provisions for plumbing and metal employees who are shift workers.
In subsection D, for plumbing and metal industry employees working shift hours, the clause adjusts the rest period to 8 hours instead of the usual 10 when overtime is worked. This recognises the unique circumstances of shift work, especially in cases like changing shift rosters or when a non-shift worker replaces a shift worker.
And lastly, subsection E seems to grant a special consideration for joinery and building trades products industry employees. Could you explain this provision a bit more?
Absolutely. So subsection E provides a specific exception for joinery and building trade products industry employees if they've worked continuously for 20 hours, excluding meal or tea rest breaks, they are not required to continue or recommence work for at least 12 hours.
Now, going back to subclause 45.6B, which only applies to metal industry employees, members should note that an employee who works less than 3 hours of recall, recall that's returned to the workplace, that this time shall not be regarded as overtime for the purposes of the 10-hour rest period.
Next, we're taking a closer look at rest periods outlined in clause 43 and 44 of the new maintenance agreement.
Absolutely, Maddie. So let's start by zooming in on clause 43. Meal breaks, as per 43.1, are pretty crucial. Employees are entitled to an unpaid meal break of not less than 30 minutes and not more than 60 minutes.
And in 43.1B, there's a provision that an employee shouldn't work more than 5 hours without an unpaid meal break, or 6 hours if agreed upon by the majority of employees.
Right, so when it comes to metal industry employees, it says at 43.1C, if facilities are limited and meal breaks have to be staggered, an employee must not be required to work more than 6 hours without a meal break.
Moving on to clause 43.2, it deals with what happens when an employee works through their meal break. Plumbing and joinery and building trade products industry employees are paid at 200% of their ordinary rate until a meal break is taken, while metal industry employees get 150% until a meal break is taken, except for regular maintenance persons.
So we've got some clear examples to help illustrate these scenarios. An example one, it outlines that a plumbing industry employee begins their shift at 7 a.m. Therefore, according to the provisions of the clause, they shall not be required to work past 12 p.m. without an unpaid break for a meal. The employer requires an employee to tend to an urgent repair, and the employee is not able to take the meal break until 2 p.m. The employee is then entitled to be paid 200% of their ordinary rate between 12 p.m. when the lunch break was supposed to occur and 2 p.m. when they actually took their lunch break.
And in example two, a joinery and building trade products industry employee begins their shift at 6:30 a.m. Therefore, they ordinarily shall not be required to work past 11:30 a.m. without an unpaid break for a meal. However, the majority of employees agree to take a meal break at 12:30 p.m. after 6 hours of work. An employee is not entitled to be paid 200% of their ordinary rate until after 12:30 p.m.
Now, turning our attention to tea or rest breaks in clause 43.3, the new agreement confirms that all employees are entitled to a 10-minute break for every 4 ordinary hours worked or part thereof greater than 1 hour. If agreed, though, one 20-minute break can also be taken.
And metal industry employees not engaged in continuous work, working on a Sunday or public holiday, get a 20-minute paid break after each 4 hours of work on a Sunday or public holiday if they continue working after.
Now, delving into clause 43.4, we have some new washing time break provisions. This was to ensure that the agreement passed the boot test. An employee is entitled to take 5 minutes before lunch and 5 minutes before finishing time for washing up, or 10 minutes if they've been using toxic substances. And toxic substances are defined at subclause 43.4C.
And in 43.5, for hot or cold work, employees engaged for more than 2 hours are entitled to a 20-minute rest after every 2 hours. Hot and cold work is also defined at subclause 43.5B and C, respectively.
Now, finally, we want to highlight that the travelling and relocation provisions of the new maintenance agreement have been redrafted pretty much entirely, just for clarity, but the entitlement has not changed from the previous agreement.
Exactly, Bree. So the terms should now be easier for employers to understand as we have modernised some language and used clear tables in certain instances.
But we do want to spend a little bit of time on distant work, as this entitlement now applies to all employees where it previously only applied to joinery and building trades product employees.
So distant job is defined as a job where either the distance from the employee's usual place of residence or the travelling facilities available make it reasonably necessary for the employee to live and sleep away from their usual residence. We aren't aware of many circumstances where this is required. However, it's important to remember the agreement now outlines the payments to occur.
And this includes providing reasonable board and lodging, paying the economy return fare, covering expenses incurred by the employee, and also paying for travel time at the employee's ordinary time rate of pay.
That wraps up our discussion around on-call and recall, breaks, including breaks between periods of work, and travelling, relocation and distant work. Thank you, Bree, for your time today.
Thanks, Maddie. And if any listeners have additional questions regarding the application of these clauses, please feel free to reach out via email or telephone, or you can contact our query team. I'm